Welcome to Northeast Christian Church. We are in week two of a series called Man Up. And if you were not here last week, I want to encourage you to consider visiting our website, listening to that message. That is not just just to get you to listen to one more sermon, but I really think it'll kind of lay the groundwork after the fact for what we're going to talk about today and the next few weeks. Man up. What we're doing is we are doing the tough work of the soul. We're getting our hands dirty. We're hopefully, especially in our men's lives, hopefully there's going to be some life change take place over the next few weeks as we study what God's Word has to say about the godly ingredients of godly manhood. Now again, remember the ground rules from last week. If you were here, there's no elbowing, no dirty looks, no, excited nodding of the heads or anything like that. Just let the Holy Spirit do any convicting that needs to be done. Next week, April 17th, we're going to call that Camo Appreciation Sunday. And so if you have camouflage at home or access to camouflage, please wear that. I've heard some interesting camo will be worn next week. What I'm excited about is first-time guests. Right? I mean, first, can you imagine showing up to church on Sunday morning and, I don't know if the entire room, but many people in church wearing camo. I mean, we're in Western Colorado, so we'll see. But if you have camo, don't even wash it. Just drag it out and put it on and camo for Jesus next Sunday. We're learning that there's a right way and a wrong way to do things. There's a right way and a wrong way to be a man. There's, in life, there are right ways and wrong ways to do things. Here's just one, for instance. There is a wrong way to carve a turkey, right? And then there's a right way to carve a turkey. You always use eye protection. Always use eye protection when carving a turkey. Just saying, there's also a right way and a wrong way to be a man. Fortunately, God has told us how to act like men. We're using a few verses from 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14, kind of as our outline for this series. The Apostle Paul, as he's wrapping up this letter, he kind of goes rapid fire and talks about a few different topics. One of those is, he says, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. If you take notes in your Bible, I want to encourage you to circle those words. Act like men. In this series, we're kind of looking at it as a wheel, if you will. And the hub of that wheel is act like men. The first spoke we looked at last week, be watchful. Godly men are to be watchful, be on their guard, looking out for themselves, looking out for their family, looking out for their loved ones. Today is the second spoke. Stand firm in the faith. The hub of that wheel, act like men. Next week, we're going to be looking at the topic, be strong. And then the fourth, as we wrap things up, let all that you do be done in love. Now today we're going to cover a topic that in society is really, honestly, it's not politically correct. I'm going to get to that in just a moment, but you will probably agree with me because you guys are here this morning, you know kind of how things work, right? But if you were to go out in public, if I were to stand out in public on a corner somewhere, and if I were to say, what the world needs is godly men, many people there might say, well, what do you mean by godly? Others would say, well, why does it have to be a man? What about women? Aren't women important? And of course, I would say, yes, they are. But women, more often than not, are not the problem. At a risk today of someone wanting to grab the steering wheel and kind of steer us back on politically correct pavement, I deliberately want to take us off road this morning and study what God's Word has to say about standing firm in the faith. Our world is suffering in general. Families are suffering in particular because men sometimes are no-shows. That's why the lesson today, the study today, is entitled, Godly Men Show Up. Godly men stand firm in the faith. Godly men show up. They are present. There's some convincing reasons why the world needs men to show up now more than ever. Here's my first point this morning. Godly men show up because when we don't, the enemy wins. Godly men show up because when we don't, the enemy wins. Now remember, we're taking this from 1 Corinthians 16, this idea, this outline, and it's this military language. So I want to start things off using a military example this morning. It's not a good example. It's a bad example. It's a good example of a bad example, in fact. You'll understand that in just a moment. We're talking about King David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse 1, you may be familiar with the story. I'll set the context afterwards, but it says this. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab, that was one of his commanders, and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. Here's the key, but David remained at Jerusalem. Again, if you're taking notes, I want you to circle that phrase or underline it. David remained at Jerusalem. And now David's the king in the springtime when the kings go out to battle. In other words, David is not where he's supposed to be. David didn't go. He was a no-show. He abandoned his post. And because he abandoned his post, if you're familiar with his story, what takes place is it leads to his downfall, if you will. He's up on the top of his palace. He sees a girl bathing. He has her brought to the palace. He gets her pregnant. He begins to lie about it. There's a series of lies to cover up the pregnancy. Then there's a murder. And then he tries to cover that up. And then his family will suffer the consequences of his actions for generations to come. And it was all because David was a no-show. David wasn't where he was supposed to be. Godly men stand firm. Godly men show up. Godly men are where they're supposed to be. Boys need godly fathers to teach them how to be a godly man. Girls need godly fathers in order to learn how a godly man should treat a woman. The world is suffering because godly men aren't showing up. Godly men sometimes are just not showing up. Now, I'm not saying this morning that every single young person who doesn't have a father figure, a male influence, a godly influence in their life, I'm not saying that there's no hope, that they're going to struggle with that forever. But research shows, studies have shown, you can Google this, not right now, but you can Google this, growing up without a father. Google that phrase. Or Google the phrase, growing up with an absentee father. You'll come across all kinds of issues, all kinds of statistics. 50% of kids who live in homes without fathers live below the poverty line. That is four times higher than homes with dads. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services states that fatherless children are at a dramatically greater risk of drug and alcohol abuse. They're more likely to be sexually active at a younger age. They're more likely to commit crimes. They're less likely to achieve good grades in school. They're more likely to have emotional issues. And the list goes on and on and on. Issues associated with not having a strong male and hopefully godly influence in a kid's life. And it's all because some dude impregnates a girl and then walks away. I know there are other circumstances, but by and large, that's what happens. And it's wreaking havoc on our society. That doesn't even touch on the spiritual elements that are at play there. I do a little bit of counseling. I don't publicize that. I don't know that I'm a great counselor. I will listen for a little while, but honestly, my patience is a little limited. And it's like, you know what? I care about how you feel for the most part, but just do the right thing. You know the right thing to do. Fix it. Do the right thing. Let's get to the point here. Well, in counseling or sometimes in spiritual growth, frequently anymore when I'm interviewing someone for a ministry position, I will ask the question to a boy or to a man, tell me about your relationship with your father. Tell me about your relationship with your dad. The reason is, and if you haven't read the research, if you haven't seen it firsthand, you may not understand or believe me, but the reason is this. More often than not, we kind of get our understanding of who God is based on our relationship with our own fathers. We do. You may not, girls and guys, we tend to get our understanding of who God is based on our relationship with our earthly father. And so that leads me to say this, guys, watch out. Live right. Lead well. Get humble. Stay hungry. Because what your family is seeing in you is oftentimes how they're going to understand that Father God loves them. And if Father God is there for them. And so I cannot overstate this. I cannot overemphasize this too much today. Godly men show up. And the reason we have to show up, guys, is if we don't, the enemy wins. There's no battle If we don't show up, if we're not where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing, the enemy will come in and wreak havoc in our homes, wreak havoc in the areas we're responsible for, and win. That won't happen if you're there. That won't happen if you show up. Number two this morning, godly men show up because God has entrusted us to lead. I know that that is politically incorrect just as it is, but it's still the truth. Ephesians 5, verse 23 says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." We're going to continue on in just a moment. But the husband is to be the head of the wife. Now, I understand many people right there would say, wait a minute, that's just not right. Let's pause for just a minute. For the last several weeks, every Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., we've had a men's breakfast over at Denny's on Horizon Drive. We've had about 8 to 10 guys pretty regular, maybe dropped as low as 6. Last week, we had 15. Now, I know I stood up here last week and I kind of twisted your arm and I said, hey, if you're at work, if you're busy, that's one thing. But if you're sleeping at 6 a.m., wake up and come grab some breakfast with some other men and just hang out. So that, I mean, we hang out, we have breakfast, we talk a little bit, we study the word a little bit, we pray together. Here's the amazing thing. I've even heard from some of the ladies, thank you for doing this. It's good for him. Thank you for taking the initiative here. Women are happy about men becoming the type of men, the godly men that God wants them to be. Do you know why? I don't know of a woman who doesn't want to be loved by a man the way Jesus Christ loves the church. Verses 25 through 28, this won't be on the screen, but Ephesians 5, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He died for the church, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing." Verse 28, "In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Jesus loved the church in such a way, he was prepared to lay down his life for her. That's the bar, gentlemen. I mean, the bar has been set high. The bar is the bar on the cross. That's the expectation, that we would lay down our lives. That's how we're supposed to love our wives, our kids, our families. David Robinson, professional athlete, basketball player, played the number 5 spot for the San Antonio Spurs for many years. Scored over 20,000 points, grabbed over 10,000 rebounds, won 3 gold medals, was defensive player of the year, MVP, and had 2 NBA championship rings. Most of all, he's a godly man. He's a good man. He attended, and I don't know if he still does, but attended Max Lucado, the church that Max Lucado led, Oak Hills Church in San Antonio. There was a Sports Illustrated article about him back in the late 90s called "Saint David, David Robinson and the Temptations of NBA Stardom." I want to read just a little bit from that article this morning. "San Antonio Spurs center and born-again Christian David Robinson is trying to lead his team to an NBA title and remain pure in a world beset by the 7 deadly sins. The Silver Dancers come onto the court during a timeout and David Robinson does not watch. He will not allow his mind to wander down the mildly carnal paths. Why open himself to the possibility of impure thoughts? The idea is that temptation should be avoided. The irony is that Robinson works where he does. He sometimes seems a stranger in the very environment he rules." Now, David Robinson is now retired, but he has several children. He was a part of Oak Hills Church, even worked on staff for a brief stint there. And Max Lucado writes about David and an incident that happened at their church in one of his books. I want to read that part as well. "During communion, David's little boy asked this question, 'Daddy, what's that?' Now remember, David Robinson is a big guy, 7'1". So he's almost a foot taller than I. He's a huge guy. And so Robinson's voice was deep and kind. 'These are crackers. They help us to think about Jesus' death on a cross.' Lucado continues, 'I chuckled at the impossible assignment of explaining the Lord's Supper to a child in the middle of church. The questions continued with the cup of juice. 'What's that, Daddy?' 'It's grape juice and reminds us of the blood of Jesus.' Robinson began and went on to do the best he could to explain that symbol. That was just a few hours after David Robinson had been involved in an NBA playoff game that was broadcast around the world and seen by millions on TV. But David would be the first to tell you that that contest does not compare with the precious moments he had with his son on Sunday. Years from now, long after the headlines have faded and the games have been forgotten, it will not matter who won or lost on the court. What will matter is that this little boy had a daddy who told him about Jesus. Slam dunk. Godly men are supposed to lead. It's a role that God has given us. But the problem that we see taking hold of our world today is that men just don't show up. And so when the preacher stands up or reads this verse that says, you know, the husband is the head of the wife, or, you know, godly men show up, that sort of a thing, some of the women might be thinking, where are those men at? What men are you talking about? Because unfortunately, oftentimes today, godly men aren't taking this role seriously anymore. Guys, I'm telling you, it's time for us to stand firm in the faith. It's time for godly men to show up. It's time for us to put on the godly mantle of leadership and quit letting the devil wreak havoc in our lives, in our homes, in our relationships. Godly men show up and lead. Number three this morning. Godly men show up because godly men don't make excuses. Godly men don't make excuses. Back to 2 Samuel again. This time chapter 23. In 2 Samuel 23, we have the names of guys who are called David's mighty men. That's the title of these 30 guys, David's mighty men. I mean, these are kind of the special forces in David's army. Now remember, we started out today with a bad example of this military example. Well, this one is a good example. Two verses about this guy. He's also one of David's mighty men. But out of the 30, there were three guys who were kind of the baddest of the bad, in a good way. I mean, these guys were... they were warriors. They were vicious. They were good at what they did, which was defending the king and killing other people. Okay? So, back in the fall, I preached a message, a one-day message on Shammah. I don't know if you remember that, but he kind of comes later, verse 11, I believe. He takes a stand in the middle of a field of lentils, the Bible says. But today we're going to talk about the guy just previous to him. So, these guys are warriors. And the guy in the preceding verse, verse 8, I can't pronounce his name, we'll just call him Josh, you can read it later. But verses 9 and 10, okay? And next to him, talking about Josh, and next to Josh, among the three mighty men, was Eleazar the son of Dodo, son of Ahohi. He was with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel withdrew. He rose and struck down the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clung to the sword. I want to stop right there for just a minute. You have the Israelite army, and these men are in the midst of the Israelite army. I don't know what it means by defied. Some versions of the Bible say taunting. I don't know if they were cutting, like, you know, your mama jokes and stuff like that, but they were defying, they were taunting the Israelite, or the Philistine army, okay? And they're close enough that they can kind of probably hear one another, or at least see one another making fun. And it says that the Philistine army, at one point, they've had enough. And so they attack, and the Philistine army comes after them, and all the other guys take off, except for one man, who at this point in time, I would like to affectionately name, no excuses, Eleazar, right? No excuses. He single-handedly fought the Philistines, the Bible says, and his hand clung to the sword. No excuses. The original verses that we used for today from 1 Corinthians 16 is, stand firm in the faith. This is a guy who's standing firm in the faith. This is a guy who's showing up, a guy who will not make excuses. Then we continue. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the men returned after him only to strip the slain. So they come back once everybody's dead. I mean, once the danger is gone and now it's just a matter of, you know, getting anything of value off the dead bodies, then the rest of the army shows up. But when everybody else had decided to leave, Eleazar stands his ground. He stands firm. He stays. He showed up. No excuses. The world we live in today is full of excuses. All kinds of excuses. And, you know, we could use this excuse. Well, everybody else has retreated. Everybody else has left and gone away. And, you know, I mean, we don't need manly men anymore. The world doesn't need men anymore. That was back in the day when there was a warrior class. And, you know, you lived out in caves in the jungle and in the forest and you had to be tough and fend for yourself and whatnot. The world, I mean, we're more advanced. We just don't need that anymore. All the world needs is, you know, a good, strong woman. You don't need a man. Government will take over where the men left off. I mean, we know where that gets us, but we make all kinds of excuses. Everybody else has retreated. I know this isn't politically correct anymore, but I'm telling you, godly men show up. Godly men stand firm. They don't make excuses. They do what God has called them to do. Men, no excuses. Well, Seth, you wouldn't understand. You know, it's just been really busy lately. I've been busy at work. No, I said last week, your most important responsibility is when you walk back through the door of your home at the end of the day. That's the most important thing. When you turn off the light in your office, you get in your car, you head home, and you walk in the front door. Don't bring work home. I know, I told you last week also, you know, I'm talking to myself the next few weeks, just, you know, listen in. But don't bring work home. And when you have to bring work home, don't let it dominate your family time. Hang with the kids, and then once the kids have gone to bed and you've spent some time with your wife, then drag the work out. Do whatever it takes, but be in the moment with your family. Be in the moment. Don't be on your phone. Guilty. You can ask him. Don't be, well, everybody else is on their phone or they're on the internet. So be a leader. Put the phone down. Engage with the family. Engage your family on their turf. Here's what I mean by that. Some guys are like, well, you know, my daughter, she just doesn't want to spend any time with me. She doesn't want to, you know, go golfing. She doesn't want to change the oil. She doesn't want to, you know, go hunting. Meet your daughter on her turf. Be a leader. You be the one who maybe goes outside your comfort zone when you're spending time with your family. Engage your family on their turf. I've found I have three wonderful kids. But communication can still be difficult with a child unless you kind of get away from other things. Maybe going on a date with your child or going on a bike ride with them or working on a project together. You can't just pull a chair out and say, son, we're going to have a meaningful conversation. That's not going to happen. But if you can get engaged in some activity or go somewhere and get away from things, then that can help initiate that conversation. The walls will come down. Communication can start to open up. I would say maybe you go on a vacation. Take your family on a vacation. Take your wife on a vacation. Get your family away from your home or away from your context and go do that. You might be thinking, well, we don't have any money. Get creative. We make time for what is important to us. We live in Western Colorado. You can go 30 minutes in any of 8 directions and be on vacation fairly quickly. Get away with your family. Spend time with them. Father them. Lead your family. Camping is a cheap and awesome adventure, and it's a great time bonding with family. And it's not because of the reasons you might think. I mean, I like to go camping, but I like to sleep, and I don't sleep when I go camping, sleeping on the ground. I know some of you are like, you're just not doing it right. But, I mean, we go camping, and a successful camping trip is not because everything went well. It's because it was meaningful. And sometimes meaningful means the tent fell down, or, you know, the storm blew in, or savage animals attacked. I don't know. I mean, in fact, I would tell you, dads, men, if you could somehow orchestrate some anomaly to take place, that would probably be successful because your kids will never forget it. They will never forget the time that their family went camping and, I don't know, a groundhog bit their dad. I don't know. Or something else, something larger. It will bond the family together when those weird things happen. Some of you might be divorced and your kids live with their mom, and that does not give you a pass on being a godly dad. So you show up, you pay the child support, you do what it takes. And when you get an opportunity to be with your children, you be with your children. When you have the kids, that's not date night. That's not hanging out with the guys night. You be with your kids. Maybe you have an opportunity to do the donuts with dads things, or go to a sporting event with your child at their school, and you know they live across town. I don't care if it's a 5-minute engagement with your child and takes you an hour to get there round trip. You be there. And you tell them you're proud of them. And you're proud of their achievements, and you celebrate what's going on in their life, and you speak life into them. Let them know how much you care. I will tell you, they may not remember that you were there in that brief encounter. But if everybody else's dad is there, they will remember that you were not there. If you're a stepdad, you need to step up to the plate. You need to step up and show up and tell your kids you're there for them. You're their number one fan. Cheer at their games. Reward their accomplishments. Speak life into them. Be their number one fan. And that way, when it comes time for discipline, you can say, you can't talk to your mama that way. I love you. I care for you, but you cannot talk to your mama that way. No more. Ladies, if you don't have a father figure in your life, then find a way to fix that. I'm not saying go out and get married right away. I don't hear me say that. But maybe you get your kids involved in church, in the children's ministry, in the youth ministry, where we have some manly influence there. I mean, some of our youth guys are a little crazy, but they love kids and they're godly individuals. That was for you. Sorry. Get them involved. Volunteer at church where they'll have some influence and rub elbows with some godly male influence in their life. Maybe get in a small group Bible study as well. We're blessed in this part of the country to have a lot of sports activities. And there are some godly men who are coaches. If you have an opportunity to get your child on a team with a godly male figure who's their coach, that can go a long way to filling that need or helping with that need. Teachers as well. If you're a coach or you're a teacher and you're here this morning, understand you will have children on your team or in your class who you're the only godly male influence in their life. Don't misuse that. Every time I see a family walking to church or coming in from the parking lot and, you know, dad is there and he's assertive and he's confident and he's there and present, it's so encouraging to me. Next generation has a chance. Once again, back to the verse and then we'll be done. It says, the Bible says, Eliezer's hand clung to the sword. What sword do we have nowadays? Sword of the Spirit, Word of God. The sword, that's our sword today. And I'm saying, guys, you have to keep on picking up the sword. You have to keep on holding firm to the sword. There's never going to be a time when there's nothing new in here. Every time I open up God's Word, He speaks to me. God speaks to me in a new and different way. I've had other experiences or I have a different understanding, and there's something new to be learned. There's never a point in time where you will not need God's Word in your life. There's never a point in time where you get to retire from being a godly father or from being a godly husband. There's never a point in time where you get to retire from being a godly man, a godly influence in life. There's never that point. In fact, godly men stay in the battle until the battle's done. Godly men die with their boots on and their sword in their hand because they don't quit. They never give up. They show up and they stay where God wants them to be. It leads into the takeaway this morning. Where do you need to show up? Men? Man, where do you need to show up? Maybe for you, you need to show up at home. For your children, for your son, for your daughter, for your wife. They need you to show up. They need to be able to count on you to be the godly man that you're designed to be. You need to show up. You need to be there. Maybe you need to embrace your role as a spiritual leader in your home. To be prepared to lay down your life for your wife. We'll get into this a little bit more in a couple weeks, but maybe even more than being prepared to lay down your life, you're prepared to live your life for your wife, loving her and serving her. Maybe for you, you need to quit making excuses and get in the fight. What God needs among us are some godly men who are willing to stand up and make the commitment, no excuses, no matter what. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to show up. I'm going to stand firm in the faith. No matter what, I'm going to lead. I'm going to be a godly influence. I'm going to stay in the battle until the battle is done. And then when the battle is over, then you get to walk in to heaven and hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come now into your rest." We need some godly men who will show up. Let's stand up this morning. First things first, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's something you gotta get right. Sooner than later. Don't take my word for it. Some people have made that decision just in the past few weeks, in the past few months. It's been exciting to see God work in their lives. You need to get things right between you and God through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you'd like prayer this morning, we'd invite you to come forward. We'd love to visit with you. We'd love to pray with you. Let's pray together and then we'll sing. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for just some simple yet complex ingredients on godly manhood, instructions on godly manhood. Father, especially the men here today, help us to understand there's a calling on our lives. For the ladies too, of course, but these few weeks talking to the men, there's a calling on our life to show up, to be present, no excuses. Help us to be the kind of men that would honor you and glorify you with everything we say and do. Father, we love you. Thank you for showing up in our lives, for doing whatever it took to give us an opportunity to be right with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.